and welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and we are broadcasting live from SkidRowStudios.com. This is real radio on the internet, and we're here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're here to talk about what it's like to be an entrepreneur and share some business tips with you. And also, if you have any questions, you can give us a call. The number is 1-800-893-9562, and we'd love to hear from you. And today, I am interviewing Joanna Holden of Modular Inc., and I'm very excited to have you here.
Thanks.
Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about, what is Modular Inc.?
Okay. Modular Inc. is a branding and graphic design studio. So I do branding for businesses, which includes websites, corporate identity, logos, you know, mostly all of your marketing collateral that you need to represent your business. I also do...
And talk a little closer.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, because we want to hear everything you have to say.
Okay, great. And so I do, you know, big projects where I brand a complete, you know, branding package for someone, or I just work on graphic design materials, whatever people need on the web or in print.
That sounds great. So how did you get started in that? Is it what you wanted to always do, or
what happened? Graphic design wasn't my first choice as a career, because I really didn't know that it existed. I grew up, my mom's an artist and my dad's a business person, so I'm kind of a mix of both of them, which is quite good for me in, you know, my business. But I always knew I was interested in the arts. And in college, it took me a kind of a while to figure out what, you know, I wanted to do in design. I love design, but I didn't know exactly what it was until I kind of, you know, happened upon the graphic design students actually in the hallway, and they were working on logos, and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. And it totally dawned on me, because I had been doing design things in my life, but I didn't really understand what a graphic designer was. So I immediately enrolled in those classes and, you know, found out I was really good at it. So that became my path.
And so knowing what you want to do and having sort of a passion for it and being talented at it is one thing. Executing it, taking
right.
that action and moving forward with it is a whole different ballgame. So
absolutely.
So you graduated from school and had all of these skills now. What did you do with it?
I worked in-house at a studio for a while, and also worked for, I'm from Dallas, Texas. So I started in studios in Dallas, and I really enjoyed it a lot, but I did realize that I was sort of taken away from the clients. The creative people were kind of, you know, in the office all day long working on the designs, and, you know, art directors and creative directors were going out and, you know, selling those designs and talking to the clients. And I love people, and I really wanted to be in touch with people. So I decided, in order for me to do that, I probably should work freelance or do things on my own so I could actually be in, you know, touch with the clients versus, you know, doing the work and then letting someone else represent it. And so that was my main reason for wanting to start my own business, is because I wanted to do the whole thing from start to finish. And so I took the leap, and I had a really good client that was a very good first client that was really big at the time. So I was able to actually start my own business, and it was really a blessing to have that client and, you know, build it from there.
So did you already have the client before you went out on your own? Did you talk to the client and say, you know, I'm thinking about branching out and doing this on my own and that kind of thing?
I did. Okay. Yeah, actually, they were going to outsource all their creative. And so I asked if I could be their agency. And they said, yep, we love it. So that was my first client. And I still have them today. But, you know, it's a different relationship, and, you know, I will always have them as a client because they, you know, been so good to me. But, you know, I have had, you know, many more, you know, clients since then. So they're just a small part, but they're always
yeah.
a part.
No, that sounds like it was a real pivotal point
was,
when
yeah.
knowing that you had the confidence and you had the backing mm-hmm. To be able to take that leap. And that's one
right.
of the scariest things a lot of times for entrepreneurs, is knowing that they have this information, that they have this expertise and all of that, but going from working from for someone else to
right.
now being responsible
yeah.
in a very big way. That's a whole different kind of ball game. So it takes a lot of courage to do that. Were you scared?
Absolutely. And I'm still scared. You know, it never goes away. I will always worry. I will always hope it, you know, is what I want it to be. And I don't think I'll ever stop worrying. And I don't think I'll ever, you know, I'll always be thankful for the people that support me and all that. And I'm never going to take that for granted. I do think that there are so many rewards, though. So that worry and that fear is kind of, you know, eased by the satisfaction of, you know, making this happen myself and also working with, you know, the people I work with. I do have such a great support system in all aspects, so including you. So, you know, it's, you know, those people and those types of relationships that really help me, you know, get over those fears.
Well, I think worry can be a very good motivator.
It is, yeah.
You know, if we get too comfortable and it's, we don't have anything to worry about, then we don't always step outside our box. We don't always push ourselves a little bit farther. So I think that's a really good thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it might be that sometimes people think, oh, well, if I get to this certain point, that I won't have to worry anymore.
Right.
Well, hopefully we'll always worry.
Absolutely.
You know, always have that that little nagging thing to do better, to push harder, to go forward in a different direction. What did people say whenever you were planning on taking that leap and doing it on your own? Did they say, oh, no, or did they say, yeah, this is the right move for you?
Family and friends, of course, were like, go for it. You're great. You can do this, you know, be very supportive. I did have one of my other clients, though, tell me that when she started her business, she was like, I want you to know it's going to be hard and you're not going to be able to relax for 10 years. And I was, you know, kind of, you know, caught off guard by that. Because she really, it seemed like you would have, your life for 10 years is going to be so hard that, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this. It's sort of the tone I got from her. But I realize she was just letting me know that there's and it's an interesting time frame. I don't know where she got the 10 years. I guess it was her, you know, her process that the 10 years was such a big deal. But I kind of understood it in a way of, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, and you're going to learn as you go, and it's, you know, it's going to take a really long time for you to figure things out. Because honestly, I have not had a business class. You know, I have kind of, you know, some, you know, skills from, you know, from working, you know, within studios and stuff, but nothing, you know, about running my own business. So I did have to learn as I went. And I did just celebrate my 10-year anniversary of my studio being in business. And I kind of understand what she means, because it's taken me this long to understand everything I need to learn. You know, I'm not going to just figure this out overnight. And I didn't, and I'm still not. So I think that her advice was good. It was a little discouraging, but, you know, I am told a lot by people, you know, you're so great, you can do this. And it is nice to have someone really tell you realistically what they went through and, you know, kind of warn you, because it is, you know, quite a journey. And, you know, it's always good for people to kind of tell you the bad stuff as well as the good stuff.
That sounds great. So since you didn't have a business class, and even if you had, I don't know that it would have necessarily helped. So, but going forward, I mean, there is a lot to starting a business. So did you already know that you need to incorporate or be a sole proprietor? Or who did you go to, and how did you find the information that you needed to actually make this a real business, learn, like, what taxes you need to pay,
right.
learn about your the bookkeeping, decide whether you're, I don't know if, you know, employees, having employees. It's kind of like a whole big
right.
can of worms when you decide I'm going to become an entrepreneur. So who did you go to, and how did you find that information?
Honestly, I wasn't very organized about it. I just kind of jumped in and, you know, as I went, figured out what I needed to do. I wouldn't follow my model if I were doing it over again. I think that I was, you know, that was a long time ago, and I was a lot younger, and sort of just, you know, I didn't know it would be a business, actually. I was just like, I'm going to try this and see what happens. And so I wasn't that organized. But I will say that, you know, I did get advice from people. And it wasn't until I moved to LA, actually, that I found a better networking and sort of mentorship in my industry. I think that in Dallas, it's a great city, but it's there's, you know, there aren't, there may be now, but there weren't as many small business owners and people doing creative things and people, you know, a lot of people work 9 to 5, mm-hmm. you know, for the man and, you know, have that, you know, stability. But there's a lot, I find a lot more people here that are really pursuing dreams. And, you know, and it's not just the entertainment industry. It's, you know, it, you know, being their own boss, doing their own thing, being creative, working for themselves. And so this community, actually, I think I've gotten a lot more organized in LA. I'm trying to, at least, actually. I'm still working on it. You know, I don't keep books like I should. I don't, you know, do things, you know, to the letter. But, you know, I am getting those processes in place. But here in LA, I think that more people are open to talking to you about their journey. They're open to mentoring you, networking with you. And it's really great for me. And it's kind of surprising because I didn't expect that sort of community in LA.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people tell you about all the, you know, people who are in it for themselves and all that in LA, but I haven't experienced that for myself. And I think it's really great.
Yeah, I agree. I think LA is kind of like the best kept secret for a lot of things like that, you know, for friends and yep. Having people really help each other and be open to that and mentoring. And like you said, all of that kind of thing. I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 1-800-893-9562. If you have a question for myself or Joanna, we'd love to hear from you. I love that you brought up that you asked for help. And that's something that is actually not always that easy to do or to recognize. And I think especially sometimes as females, we tend to think that we can do everything ourselves. We will ask for directions, but other than that, we tend to try and take it all on and do it ourselves. And so I think it's really great that you reached out and did ask, and people are actually pretty giving and I found really want to try and help when they can. So that's a really important point that you mentioned. Now, moving, how long have you been in LA?
5.5 years.
Okay, so that was a big step too, to move from you started your business, it's 4.5 years in, mm-hmm. it's going pretty well. And now you're saying, okay, yeah, I can do this from anywhere, but,
right.
you know, so it's like starting all over again. What made you decide to move?
I grew up in Dallas and, you know, it's a great city, but, you know, just like I said earlier, I needed more creativity, different people. And mainly I feel like here, there is so much more opportunity for, growth. Creatively. And I also wanted a change for my life. I wanted to kind of see what was out there. I have a lot of friends here. So, you know, in visiting, I really kind of fell in love with the city, which surprised me a lot. And then, you know, just like you said, I think I was naive to think that it would be as easy to build my business in LA as it was in Dallas. I moved here and then the economy crashed. I moved here in the beginning of 2008. So it was the worst timing ever. but, you know, it really taught me so much. It taught me a lot about getting out there. And I'm a pretty social person, but it's really hard for me in business to just approach a big room and talk about what I do. So I had to learn those skills.
So now you're talking to millions.
Yes. so it took a lot for me, and I had to teach myself to get out there and, you know, promote my business versus people just coming to me. Like, happened in Dallas pretty, you know, easily because of how many people I knew, and it was a small community. The thing I did learn about LA is that designers are here to help other designers. And I didn't realize that, you know, we are competitors, but we're also in this together and colleagues. And that was really great to, you know, see that community happen here. So I think with so many designers and so much competition, it also brings a big community.
I love hearing that. Now, how do you stand out from your competition?
I think
what's your secret sauce?
I think my secret sauce is that people deal with me directly, and I think that people like my aesthetic. I get a lot of compliments on, you know, my design aesthetic. So I, you know, I love that.
Which I concur.
Thank you. And also, you know, people don't want to deal with agencies a lot. They want to deal with people. And I think people get lost in the shuffle with agencies. And so I always want to keep my studio really small and, you know, deal directly with the clients, because that's why I started this in the first place. So I want to keep doing that.
Yeah, and I like that you just came back to that, because you said whenever you were working in the back room and just doing the creative thing, that wasn't enough. You're social. You wanted to be out there talking to the people and the creative aspect of it, and having those conversations, and really sounds like really getting to understand their business too.
Right.
And I kind of think your secret sauce too is the fact that you're not just a graphic designer and web designer. You understand the branding part so well, and you incorporate that into it. And you really have to understand that if you're going to build something for someone. Like we were talking earlier, your client needs to have somebody who gets them, who understands them and what their business is all about, rather than just trying to randomly draw a picture where you don't really, or design a website where you don't really understand what the motivation behind all of that is and what their goals are for their business. So I think that's actually a secret sauce for you as well.
Great, thanks. And a nice compliment.
And I think understanding that is important too. Mm-hmm. You know, for an entrepreneur to understand that, you know, not only how they stand out and recognizing kind of back to their roots, you know, of what was important, but to also really look at what needs their customer have and being able to address those.
Right.
So I think that's really good. Now, when you started this, did you write a business plan?
No.
My guess was no.
Right.
Okay. If you had to do it all over again, would you go back and do that?
Probably. And I think that's one thing. I, you know, of course, it's the beginning of the year, so I've made goals for myself. And one of those goals is to write a one-page business plan, because that's the new thing I'm hearing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So that's one of my goals, actually.
It's kind of an old thing, but people, people are lazy now, and they don't want to do like the 60 to 80-page business plan. And actually, I think it's a great opportunity to bring it up. I mean, there are different reasons for different business plans. There's the one page to the 100 page, and you really have to know what you're writing that business plan for. And if you're trying to go out and get investors and that kind of thing, then you probably do need something with a lot more meat in it.
Right.
If you're doing it for yourself, then, you know, sometimes just doing it on a napkin is just just fine, you know. But having some sort of plan, I do think, is helpful. I mean, it's okay to, you know, just go out and journey, and I'm pretty spontaneous, but it's also great to have some sort of idea of where you want to go, because otherwise you might not go there.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I'm learning that after so many years. I do think I need to be a little more organized and work, you know, towards, you know, goals like that, that are, you know, sort of written in stone, I guess.
Well, nothing to write in.
Right, it's true.
Because the universe will change it for you.
Absolutely.
even if you didn't expect that. But it is helpful. We just said, it is helpful to do that. And it also helps you to shoot higher.
Right.
Because we do tend to get comfortable. Like, oh, okay, well, this is working. And as long as you're just mired in the daily doing, if you're not thinking ahead about, well, what will my next client look like, and what do I want for myself, and how big do I want to go?
Right.
You know, and thinking about that too. So those are all admirable goals, and I think really great for every entrepreneur to kind of step back, stop for a little bit, and just say, okay, where do I want to be, and what do I want for myself, and at least have some sort of plan. It's like taking a trip. You know, you might change your mind. And you might see something else over there. And, you know, I don't know if you're the one who, there are entrepreneurs where there are a lot of bright, shiny objects, you know. So that's sometimes a problem. But you know, it's okay to sometimes say, oh, wow, this new information came up, and this could be a really cool idea to gravitate towards and expand my business with.
Right.
So all very good. Who inspires you?
I'm inspired by, I think, you know, originally my inspiration comes from fine art. You know, I grew up with an artist mother, and so I, you know, was taught very young. I'm a very visual person too. So, you know, seeing things visually have always attracted my attention. You know, and artists, I think, you know, I tend to look at the world in sort of an abstract way, and I think that, you know, there comes a lot of inspiration from abstract art. So, you know, in the beginning, you know, it was art and fine art that's inspired me. But now I think I'm inspired by people who are living their lives in, you know, not just having a business and doing one thing. They're making their whole world, you know, more beautiful and more functional through design. So lately I've been following a lot of people that, you know, they say they're a graphic designer, but they also make their home beautiful. They, you know, they make everything around them beautiful, and they also make things more functional for their friends, you know, things. So they're, it's not just a business for them, it's a lifestyle. So I feel like that's sort of like something I want to explore, you know, is, you know, I've always done that. Like, you know, I love design, I love furniture, you know, I love interiors, I love, you know, fashion design. I'm a huge, you know, into fashion. And, but I think that I kind of want to create like, you know, a world, you know, that's visual, so people more, and share it with more people. So lately I've been inspired by people that are doing that. Because I think it becomes not about just running a business. It becomes about how you live your life. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, inspiration changes all the time, but another, set of people that inspire me are people that give, especially people that are in business for themselves and give back because they have reached, you know, a lot of success. Because those people have helped me along the way. So, you know, I'm inspired, you know, by many people. But I think the biggest thing for me is people that are giving back to other people.
That sounds, I love that. Now, how do you motivate yourself every day? Because as an entrepreneur, I mean, do you have employees or do you have independent contractors that you work with?
Independent contractors. I have one great guy, Eric, who's my web guy, and he and I work together on a daily basis, and he's, you know, it's great because he's the coder and he's the one that, you know, does all the you know, the things that I don't really get into. I love the branding and the design. I, you know, take things pretty far, but he does all the nitty-gritty, you know, things that I don't want to deal with. So, but, you know, I have contractors that work for me. I bring them in when needed. So if a client needs a writer, you know, marketing person, then I can team with those. I have, you know, a couple junior designers that, you know, contract with me when needed. So, but motivation daily, you know, it can be challenging. I'm pretty good at, you know, going to work every day. You know, I'm using air quotes because people, you know, I work out of my home, but people say you have to go to work. You have to start at a certain time and be there the whole time and, you know, take breaks, of course, and stuff, but, you know, not get distracted by, you know, various, oh, I want to go to lunch, you know, I want to go hang out, you know, in the sunshine because it's beautiful here. You know, of course, I do those things, but I do try to go to work every day. So I think the motivation, and the motivation also comes from the fact if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. So I, you know, it will fall apart if I am not motivated. So.
Right. Well, you brought up several different things that I think is great for every entrepreneur to take note of. And one is that, like setting aside, set a time to actually, you know, go to work. Mm-hmm. And even though the reason I brought up employees is that even though you may not have employees that are there from 9 to 5, so right. to speak, that you have to go and be there for that, you still make that time to like set those hours. And I think that leads to a lot of success. On the other hand, being an entrepreneur, frequently you probably work late into the night or early in the morning or do whatever has to be done to get a job done. But on the other hand, it's great. That's one of the advantages to being an entrepreneur is that you do have some flexibility in the fact that should you decide, if your work will allow it, that you do want to take advantage of this beautiful day or have an appointment or want to go see your child's play or things like that. You don't have a boss that you have to ask, oh, can I take this particular hour off
right.
to do that? And so that is one of the advantages. And then the other thing that you brought up is that you have someone that you depend on, that you've brought in, that does the things that you really don't care to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard when we wear all the hats. We have to wear all the hats. I mean, that's part of entrepreneurship, quite often, especially when we're first starting out. But when we're having to do all those things that we're really not that good at or that we really have no desire, then we're not able to focus on our genius work. So so you're really giving yourself to, you're saying, if I spend all of my time doing this stuff that I really don't like, it's going to take away from me making money and doing the things that I'm really, really good at.
Right. And I think that's the biggest advice I ever got was for me to concentrate on what I love doing. Because it's true, you know, you are the business person, you're the admin, you're the, you know, you have to wear all the hats. And, you know, I realized that if I want to be really good at design, I have to keep doing design. And so that is, you know, it's hard to let go. It's hard to have someone else represent your work. It's hard to have, you know, it's hard to depend on someone else to show up like you're going to show up. So it, once you find good people, you know, you have to really hang on to them because, you know, they're representing you. And I think I'm, you know, learning that I can't do it all myself. And it's really hard to outsource things, but, you know, once you start doing that, you realize that more work will come. So that's one thing that's really, really changed this past year that I think is a really good benefit for me.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I think it's great advice. What is your greatest strength?
Design-wise, I would say color. You know, I've always responded to color in a really, really natural way. I think that people have to work to make things look good together, and I think that I've just was kind of one of those things I was born with, not to sound too cliche, but I think my other strength is people. I think that, you know, I do enjoy people, and I think that I end up becoming friends with a lot of my clients too, because we just have such a fun, good relationship, and I think you know, that helps me in my business a lot, is the ability to kind of talk with people and really hear about who they are and how they're trying to present themselves, so that I can, you know, put that out in the world in a visual way.
And how did you discover that that's one of the really greatest things to your success, and how did you discover, and I guess the reason I'm asking this question is just recently I was having a conversation with someone, and they have a strength that is really, really a great strength, and they hadn't really realized that they had the strength. And so it's kind of like a eureka moment. Oh, my gosh, you know, this is really something that's really been helping me all this time.
Right.
And they kind of just discovered it. So sometimes we start out going, well, I know I'm organized, so,
right,
you know, that's, you're going to know that right away maybe, but did you just kind of always know that and say, this is what will help me to be successful in my business, or is it something that you kind of just recently discovered and said, wow?
I think I recently discovered. I think that I don't, you know, people have given me a lot of feedback lately in the past year to year and a half. I don't know why, but I feel like I've been getting a lot of feedback. Maybe I needed the motivation. You know, the universe put that motivation out there. But I think people have told me that, you know, that's why they appreciate me and that's why they come to me. So I think it is something I've learned recently. The color thing, you know, my strength as a designer, I realized that in school, but I think, you know, over my career looking at all my work, I realized, you know, I'm a pretty good designer. I'm a strong designer, but I think that's sort of like the fine details of, you know, why I've had success. I think that the biggest thing is, you know, learning how to talk to people and communicate with them, you know, so that we can communicate for their business.
Well, I think the color thing is really interesting too. Probably in the last 2 years, I've kind of really noticed people who are really good at color.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought about it, but there are a lot of people who are afraid of color.
Absolutely.
And so for you to be able to bring that to your designs and that kind of thing, knowing that that's something that people are really afraid of, I'm glad that you brought it up as a strength,
mm-hmm,
and recognized it, and love that, you know, it's something that you can use in helping people to feel more comfortable.
Right.
You know, and bring something to them that maybe they hadn't even thought about, you know.
Right. That's one of my favorite things to do is talk about color theory with people and talk about why, you know, color communicates the way it does. And I think that people, you know, have sort of these aha moments about it because people, you know, are afraid of color because it, to them, they've never been able to put color together. And I think once they understand why you put it together versus, you know, there are, you know, many ways to put color together because of the feeling you're going to get when you see, you know, a piece. So that's a really fun thing for me to do is talk to people about that and color theory, because I don't even think people realize color theory exists if you're not in, you know, the art or design world. I love that.
And yet it can have such an impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's around them, but they're not utilizing it in the way that they could or should.
Right. And color doesn't mean bright colors all the time. That's another thing people think, that, you know, colors mean brightness and loudness. You know, it can be very neutral and very subdued, but also be very, you know, effective.
That's great. If you could do it all over again, would you?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I think that, you know, of course there are things I would do differently, but I really enjoy what I do and I love the, you know, flexibility, just like you talked about and everything. So I would definitely, and I want to continue. So,
so what's your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Let's see. It's a hard one. I think, I don't know. Biggest failure.
Well, maybe that's too strong a term, but I remember to just give you like an example is I remember when I do masterminds,
right,
as you know,
mm-hmm,
and when I first started doing, I didn't call it a mastermind, but I know that we need community.
Right.
And that people enjoy coming together and being able to have conversations and learn things and do all of that. So I put together like a group for women to come together and do a lot of the things that we do in the mastermind. And I knew that women wanted it because I teach workshops, and after the workshop would be over, which would last for about 4 weeks, the women would say, "Oh, you know, we just wish we could keep going with this." So I thought, well, I'll give them a venue of where they can keep going with this. And nobody came.
Mm.
So like 3 meetings and nobody came.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter actually said, "Mom, you need a theme."
Oh, okay.
So like that was like a really big lesson that, mm-hmm, I learned that I needed a theme.
Right.
So I could think of it as, I don't know that was a failure, but it wasn't working.
Right.
You know, so if that helps you to come up with something like even you said you would do some things differently. Like what,
right,
would you do differently?
I think the biggest thing I would do differently is reach out to people earlier. I think that I have learned, you know, maybe in the past 3 years that people really do want to offer advice and support you. And I think that I was going it alone for a really long time. So that's probably my biggest failure is just, you know, working in a vacuum by myself, thinking that I had to either pay people to help me or not network with people that are in my same field. So I think the biggest thing for me is just to reach out. And so many people, especially these days, I don't know, I guess there are a lot of people now that are self-employed because, you know, people are trying to take control of their own destiny lately versus, you know, because of what happened with the economy and all that.
Well, they realize that there is no safety net.
Yes, absolutely. So I think there is a bigger community these days, but I think that if I would have known how much people will give of their time and also of their expertise, then I probably would have, you know, not made a lot of the mistakes that I made. But, you know, I'm glad I know it now. But definitely that's probably the one thing that I didn't, you know that I could do.
So what are the challenges that you face in your life as an entrepreneur? What are the challenges that you face?
The biggest challenge for me is wearing all the hats. You know, just like we talked about earlier, I, you know, am not as organized as I'd like to be. You know, it'd be great if I could have an, you know, office manager and someone, you know, and, you know, someone who is able to keep everything on track, you know, just like I said about, you know, some of my work, I would love to have someone do the things that I don't love doing. I don't love, you know, getting my taxes together. I don't love, you know, of course. But, you know, so I think the biggest thing for me is managing that, you know, and also making sure I do everything on time, and also making sure that I don't, you know, spread myself too thin. Because, you know, just like you said, you know, I will find myself on my laptop at 10:30 p.m., you know, sending emails, working, and I don't, you know, hate that, but it, you know, it definitely, you know, some days I'm like, I just need a break. So, you know, and that's the other thing, is the hardest thing is I never get a true vacation. I never get a full week off, which I've made that choice and I'm satisfied with it, because I can take the afternoon off any day I want to. So, you know, there are, you know, reasons that, you know, that week vacation ends up being okay. But, you know, that's the thing, I'd like to get to the point to where I'm not spread too thin, and you know, I can take a vacation. I think most entrepreneurs would say that as well. But that's my biggest challenge.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I think that's true for everybody. And so mm-hmm. trying to, if we can come up with that.
Right. There's our $1 million idea.
Then we've got it, right?
Yep.
What do you love? I mean, I think we've kind of talked about this, but, what is it that you, if you could sum it up in like just two words, what do you love most about being in business for yourself? Like
two words, I guess it would be freedom, and then also creativity, because I think that I do have a lot more creativity than a lot of people, you know, that are in my same position, because I have so many varied clients. You know, I don't have the same client over and over again, and that's what keeps me interested. So I think, yeah, the creativity is a big part.
And the freedom to be able to send emails at 10:30
exactly.
at night or go to the beach and
right.
hang out if that's what you want to do for an afternoon.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think those are really good ones, freedom and creativity. Yeah, I would think with your business it must be so rewarding and exciting in the fact that you get to really, really, and you're kind of like a detective, you know, where you really get to learn about somebody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be fundamental things that are the same, but you're really learning about how their business ticks and how they work and all of those kind of things. That must be quite exciting for you.
It is. I love getting to know people, and I love that aspect of my business, and I love knowing all kinds of random things that I probably wouldn't know unless I was working for certain clients. And I do think it's exciting to get to know people and pull things out of them they didn't know that they had within them, you know, because a lot of times they'll not even know how they need to represent themselves. So, you know, that's one fun thing is to pull things out of people that, and then they get excited, you know, about their business. So,
now, do you have a motto?
Not really. I don't have one motto that I live by every day, but I do always tell myself to be open. Just be open for, you know, I've learned so many times that just being open to meeting people, open to new experiences, open to things I haven't done before, because, you know, good things come in ways that you would never expect. So I just try to remain open at all times.
So it sounds like, well, you are so open. I remember, I think whenever you and I first met, you had some jewelry on that had, of course I love jewelry.
Right.
You had some jewelry on that had some sayings or something on it
mm-hmm.
too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it had a little quote, I think. Yeah.
But you don't remember what that is?
I don't. I'm trying to remember. I don't.
Right. Now you're going to have to go back and look.
I know. I'll go dig through my jewelry box and let you know.
I'll let you all know on the next show what it said. I don't remember what it said either. I just remember like, oh, I want that.
Right.
That's cool. That's
I'll
really,
figure it out.
That's really neat. So I kind of thought of you as like this, because I'm a quote person, even mm-hmm. though I couldn't give you any quotes right now. But I love quotes, so.
Yeah, and I have one on my arm that's actually a tattoo, which seems a little cliche. But anyway, it's from Henri Matisse. And, you know, he's probably my favorite painter of all time. And it's exactitude is not truth. And that, for me, has given me such strength at many times, because I'm always expecting to know the answer, to know what the next thing is. And I just always remember that in my head, that, you know, it's not, you're not going to know it at all times. Your truth is, you'll figure it out. Your truth is always going to, you know, peek its head around the corner. So.
Oh, I think that's a great one.
Yeah.
All right. How do you unwind? How do you unplug?
I like to be, you know, go outside, ride. I ride my bike. I, you know, do various activities outside. I also hang out with friends a lot. You know, I love live music. So, you know, things like that, you know, people, hanging out with the people I love, you know, that's my way I unwind. You know, I live in such a beautiful city that it's hard not to just be able to go outside and take a walk and just, you know, be completely refreshed. So, you know, I feel very lucky, you know, about that. And so I'm not someone who has, you know, a lot of desire to go and, you know, go out all the time and stuff like that. I just like to enjoy, you know, the people that I love.
That sounds like really, really great things to do.
Yeah.
And you're right. We do live in a beautiful city that, fortunately, when so many people are right now, especially in January,
right,
are dealing with such incredible extreme weather, cold weather,
mm-hmm.
in other parts of the country. And I think it got to almost 80 degrees yesterday.
I know.
So we are lucky. We can never complain again for anything.
Exactly.
Was there a moment in time where you owned it? I hear from some entrepreneurs that in the beginning, you know, that it's hard for them to recognize themselves as like an entrepreneur. Like, yes, that's what I do. So mm-hmm. they'll kind of skirt around the issue. Well, you know, I do a little painting, or I do a little drawing, or I do a little cooking, or I do a little whatever it is that we're doing.
Right.
You know, I dabble with this or whatever. And even though they're running a full business,
right?
You know, was there a moment, did you own it from the first time you did it? Or was there a time where you just kind of came into it and you said, I am an entrepreneur?
I think I've always owned it. I actually, to be completely honest, the word entrepreneur, I didn't really think I was one in the beginning, because it, to me, that felt like someone who invents a product or, you know, or came up with an idea that wasn't already out there. So I didn't really consider myself an entrepreneur until, I guess, recently, you know, maybe since I moved to LA, because I didn't understand that I was really starting a business. I just was like, I'm going to, you know, do graphic design on my own for businesses. You know, it wasn't something that I set out to call myself. But I think I own it now. I've always sort of made the mistake of speaking about my business in a, act like it kind of was like a hobby, you know, a small thing I'm doing, and people have told me it's not a small thing, you know, you have built this business. So I own it more now than I used to. And I embrace the word entrepreneur a lot more than I used to as well. So, you know, it's been probably, you know, five good years that I've owned it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think you're an entrepreneur, of course, obviously. So what's your proudest moment?
I think my proudest moment is I got an award for one of my designs, and it was a proud moment because, you know, you think about, you know, doing something for someone's business and helping them communicate, but it never occurred to me that, you know, my colleagues and, you know, the professional design community would consider me, you know, good at what I do. And so that was really a proud moment, because I didn't know if I would win an award. You know, I feel like, you know, I am a really good designer, but I didn't know if, you know, I was in that category. So that was really, really rewarding for me.
Yeah, I think that sounds awesome. Well, we all love to be recognized.
Right.
And it's hard. And I think, especially as an entrepreneur, we always have that list. Do you write a list, or do you keep it in your head?
I write lists, and you know, I write them physically on paper now. I don't just use my phone as a list, but I, just like you, like to see it, you know, and scratch it out and, you know, make notes and stuff like that. But I do always have a running list of things to do, which
yeah. So there's that, even though I'm totally a list maker too, as you know,
right?
But there's that thing of always feeling like, I'm not doing enough. There's mm-hmm. still all these other things to do, and just kind of beating yourself up and not always taking into account all of the things that you've done and to take that moment to be proud.
Right.
It's great that there was a specific that said, hey, mm-hmm. you know, you can claim it and right. really be proud of this. And so that's great. And my advice would be to entrepreneurs to take those moments every day and say, you know, what am I proud of
right.
for today? You know, what did I do really great instead of beating ourselves up about what did I not get accomplished on my list or,
right.
or that kind of thing. So I love that you have that specifically that you can go back and look at and say, look, this is great. I was recognized and mm-hmm. and have that sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. I do need to work on the daily, you know, daily act of reminding myself that I am doing a good job because I do tend to get overwhelmed and think, oh, you know, I have not accomplished, you know, these certain things I wanted to accomplish today. But I do think.
And we kind of tend to focus on yeah. that negative
Absolutely.
Aspect. Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a risk taker?
I do. Probably too much so. You know, just like I said earlier, you know, I didn't have the best plan. I still don't have the best plan, but I do think I am pretty spontaneous and take risks. So I think you have to be. I think it's so hard for people who aren't risk takers to do this because you never know what's coming. So I am definitely a risk taker and think it's a good thing.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think it's actually mandatory.
Right.
If you're going to be an entrepreneur and a successful entrepreneur, you have to, you have to take risk. And that
yep.
doesn't mean that they can't be calculated, but,
right.
You know, you have to be willing to go out on that branch and be willing to fall off and or have it, you know, break or whatever.
Right.
Because otherwise, if everything is just rigid and you're not going to really go anywhere.
Absolutely. So, I totally agree.
So I'm glad to hear that. what's been your biggest surprise?
I think the support, like I've probably said, you know, so many times today.
But that's true, yeah.
Yeah, support of people. That surprises me every day. It surprises me because people really want you to know what they've been through and share, you know, their failures and all that. And they're, you know, I think people being vulnerable, you know, is my surprise because, you know, it is, you know, hard to do this and it's really nice to have people, you know, who will get behind you and, you know, kind of push you along the way.
So, I meant to ask this earlier, but, when you need to learn something, how do you go about doing that? Do you ask or do you go to books or what do you do?
I think I initially go to books, websites. You know, I do think I start trying to figure things out on my own. And then I do go to people when I know they have a specific answer. You know, so I don't just put it out there like on social media or something. Hey, I need help with this. I don't go that route. But if I know someone is strong in something, I will probably ask them. But I do a lot of research on my own. I am a curious person. I think that's one thing that is also something that's helped me along the way is I will really look for the answer to something. So I think that it's not my first idea to go to another person, but I think I am learning that as well. But I definitely read a lot, you know, in my off time about design as well as business. So I think that's very helpful.
So do you read instructions
on IKEA furniture? I do. but everything else, I think I go to things without reading the instructions first, but I think I always kind of fall back on that if I need to. But yeah, I do. I think that I'm kind of a mix of both. I do like to have the right answer. So I like to figure things out on my own. And I think that's why I, in the beginning, thought I could just figure everything out on my own and didn't ask for help because I was like, I can figure this out. I got this. But, you know, I need to realize that I don't know the answer to everything.
Well, I get reminded of that daily. But,
yep.
But I like that. And I just think it's curious to know how someone goes about learning things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm like you, a combination of both. I read a lot.
Right.
I don't read instructions. that's where I'd ask somebody to come do it.
Right.
No, actually, I did put together some IKEA furniture once, and there were few extra screws left over, and I don't know where they go.
Well, as long as it's standing up and it's it's safe, then I think you're good.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
But no, I think it's interesting, and of course, I continue to learn more and more every day about asking for help or asking for information or trying to find somebody who knows the answer and you know, if they have that particular expertise. So I think that's a good thing. So what is the, I know you've given lots of tips today and shared, you know, some different business lessons that you've come up with, but what would you say, would be your best business advice lesson, and what's the story behind that lesson?
I think the biggest lesson for me to share with people is to go with your gut and to not be one of those people that are saying, I hate my job, because I just feel like we spend so much time working, and it, you know, we do that for a good reason, so we can live our lives the way we want to. And I think that too many people are stuck in doing things they don't like because they think they have to. And I think that it's taken me, you know, a long time to realize, you know, what I want my life to look like. And I think that I can make that happen if I'm doing what I love, because if you're so bogged down by something that you don't love, you're, you know, that energy is just gonna, you know, get into all aspects of your life. So, and, you know, going with your gut, I think that, you know, trust your gut is it's such a big thing that people say all the time, but to really do it is really hard, because, you know, you think that, you know, other people have it solved and you don't, but I think that, you know, inherently what you're capable of. And I think that, you know, if people just trusted their gut, I think that, you know, they would be doing, you know, they would have the answer, you know, quicker than they think they, you know, normally would. And I just really feel like I am doing every day what I love to do. And I just hear from so many people that they aren't. And it makes me sad, you know? I think that, you know, you're in your life, you spend so much time doing this, and there's no reason to be unhappy, you know? And, you know, I know everyone can start their own business and do what they're passionate about, but I know there are ways so, you know, people can do, you know, find their passion and live that every day.
Well, you really trusted your gut back in 10 years ago.
Right.
When you said, you know, this is what I believe I can do this. And you decided to take that action step.
Right, right.
To really going out on your own. Do you have any advice for how you are able to distinguish between your gut and a natural fear that we, you know, that sometimes gets in the way?
Right.
It really isn't your gut, but it gets in there.
Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest fear is probably going to always be in front of everything. And I've learned to embrace that, because I don't think that fear is such a bad thing. So it does motivate you. It challenges you to seek out, you know, the answer, I guess, to, you know, overcoming that fear. And I think that, you know, trusting your gut is different from fear, because it's the first thing that you thought was the answer, basically. So, like, you know, you have an idea, or you have, you know, something you want to do, and it's the first idea about that pops in your head. I don't know if that makes sense, but mm-hmm. I think you always know your gut in the very beginning, and then fear takes over and covers it up. So I think that if you try and listen to what you first thought about what you want, or what you're thinking of doing, I think that you can remember, if you remember that, then you can always go back to it. The fear is going to be there, and it's never going to, you know, it's, you know, going to go away, but just remembering what you first thought out to do, I guess, is, you know, the way to listen to your gut.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's really great.
I don't even know if that made sense, but.
No, I think it actually made total sense. Okay. I was curious how you were going to answer that.
Okay.
You know, so I thought that was just a great way you put that out, because I think it is hard to decipher between sometimes the fear and the gut.
Right.
You know, and you've got those opposing
right.
voices coming in. So, No, that was a great answer, and I think really great advice for all of our listeners. So I just want to thank everyone for joining us today, tuning in. Thank Joanna Holden of ModularInc.com, and that's Inc, I-N-K, right?
Yep.
Yeah. For a moment, I wanted to make sure I was right.
Thanks for adding that.
ModularInc.com, and go visit our website, and loved having you on the show today, sharing your advice and tips and just your life as an entrepreneur.
Great,
so thanks so much.
Thank you.